many are being blessed by this teaching? How many is really fussing with you? Well, let me tell you what. There's some nuggets tonight that if you'll catch, it'll change your life. I mean, this is one of the nights. If you have to miss any night, you don't want to miss this one. Man, he gives a key here that will actually absolutely take you into the stratosphere. It doesn't matter what branch you are on in life. This will shoot you 10 branches up. I mean, it really will. If you'll catch what he's saying here, because he really digs in and makes you look at some things. And if you'll take God's plan for your life, God will take you where you never thought you could go. And the way that God does that in our life, we don't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. Because we want our way. After all, we're Americans. Americans always get their way. Mom's apple pie and Chevrolet, man. That's it. We just get our way. I mean, if we don't get our way, we'll throw a tantrum and throw a fit until we get our way. We don't like the leaders, we'll vote more in different ones. We don't like the pastor, we'll chase him out of town. We've lived that way for too long. But if we'll take God's plan for our life, God knows what He's... How many know God knows what He's doing? And resistance can do one or two things. It make you run or make you grow. We want resistance to make us grow. Right? So I'm going to be talking a little bit on Sunday, but let me just give you a little preview. Nick the Greek's going to be here, but I'm going to be saying some things. One of the things is I've been here for 2.5 years, almost now. 2 years, 4 months, and so many days. Changes are afoot. Changes are coming. And I've waited a long time. I've set back. Got to know folks. This is my time now. It's your time, Mike. This is my area. This is my county. I live here. I'm not planning on going anywhere. The next step for me is heaven. And so God sent me here, gave me a plan. I've been doing a lot of praying, a lot of on my knees, a lot of keeping quiet, just watching and observing what's already here in place because I want to honor. Bible tells us to honor the signposts, to honor the altars, to honor the roots, to honor the... And I want to do that. But to reach and do what God wants us to do here in the community, we're going to have to make some changes. And so those are maybe seem quick. I'm sorry. They're really not quick. They're quick because it changes from one to another, but it's been in planning stages for a long time. And God has said to move out. I'm going to do that. I love you all so much. We're just going to have to get used to it, get used to new faces. We're known for love. There's going to be some changes maybe in the way we do things after church. Who knows what's going on in those areas. But there are some things that we'll be talking about specifically that'll change. And it's for the good of the community. It may be uncomfortable for us for a while, but we'll get used to it. Are you there? We're the only organization that exists solely for its non-members. We don't exist for us. All this in heaven too. I mean, we want to minister to each other. We're known for love. We'll always be known for love. This church will always be known for love. I love you all so much. We love each other. But there's some growth and some stretching. And God has laid that on our heart. And we're going to do that. Is that okay? Is that okay? Because I don't want to go without you. I want to go with you. I love y'all. I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, I don't like it. Well, you'll get used to it. It'll be all right. It's not going to be anything. It's resistance that brings growth. It's change that brings growth. It really is. It's change that brings growth. If we want to change our habits, what do we have to do? Somebody said, I need to lose weight. I said, I got a great diet. You take both hands, put firmly on the table, and push back. Get away from the food, amen? All right, that's enough of that. Colossians 2, if you'll turn to Colossians 2 this evening. It is evening, isn't it? Thanks for your prayers for Terry. She says hello to everybody. Terry's got a case of shingles, and she's in very much pain, so... You can pray for her tonight. My sweetie is soaking in a tub right now and enjoying life. So, But just pray for her. That goes quickly and painlessly as possible. We celebrate 38 years in the morning, so I'm planning something special. Pancakes or something. I don't know what it'll be. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. I want to just make a couple points before we get into the video tonight. Scientists point out that the root system of a healthy tree is often as large and as deep below the ground as the tree stands above the ground. Since passages like Colossians 2 and 2:7 indicate that we're to think of ourselves as spiritual trees, let me read that. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And so God wants us to be planted deep in the faith. And the question I have is, what have you learned about what causes our roots to grow deep into Christ through this lesson? Somebody tell me. What causes our roots to grow?
Adversity.
Well, expand on that a little bit.
Like the tree stands there, and when it has to fight against the wind, when the wind causes the guy to grow his roots deeper, to grow stronger, therefore becomes stronger because of the adversity.
Anybody ever had tried to dig a tree up by the water? Have you? You know where the roots go, don't you? They go under the creek and under the... Yeah, you?
Also, try splitting a fence row tree that's been out in the open and the one that's in the woods. Same tree, same type, everything. See what the difference is.
The one that's out by itself is much harder?
You can't split that thing. It won't split.
Wow.
No, that was splitter, not with a maul.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
It's tough.
It's like a drought.
Yes, yeah. Thank God that God has built you and I together. Thank God for family, but we got to grow strong ourselves too, within ourselves. Thank God for the corporate body. But man, if I'm off alone, the enemy separates me from everybody else, I better be strong enough to take what he's got. Come on, somebody. I never saw eagles fly in big groups. Eagles fly alone. We're likened to eagles throughout the word. Eagles are loners. They go off by themselves. They're strong. Second question I have tonight. What are the primary ways God uses to give us direction? How do we get direction from God?
He speaks to us.
What else? Visions? What else? Dreams? Other people? Definitely other people. There's confirmation in counsel. There's wise counsel. We seek it out. Pardon me? Prophetic things are confirmed. Through adversity. Anybody like me, you learn to hear God's voice after making like 90 million mistakes? I got this figured out, and you do the wrong thing 6 times? Come on, somebody. I'll have to tell the story about when we were, my first church, we were remodeling, and we remodeled the whole church. It cost money, and we got a revolving loan from the group we were with for interest-free. And so we were paying, I forget, $500 a month. And so I said, let's get this thing paid off quicker. And I stood up and made a big announcement that I was going to put an extra check in. So I wrote a check for $150. I put it in the Bible. And I said, okay, well, we're to have sing this last worship song. I put it in the Bible. I said, everybody come up, put their checks in there. I'll let you guess how many checks came. Could I afford that $150? No. It blew my budget for the next month. I learned a strong lesson there. That was my idea. It wasn't God's idea. Come on. It was my idea. It was a good idea, but it's good, but it's not God. Oh. Say, how do you think believers should handle those situations when the directions they are receiving seem to be contradictory from what God's saying? Say it loud.
Wait.
That's one thing we don't like to do. We don't like to wait. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will what?
Renew
their strength. There goes eagles. Rise up on wings as eagles. So tonight we're going to be talking about putting up with and living through wrong kind of leadership and becoming mature sons in Christ. We're going to listen to John here in video 5, session 5, so get ready to take some notes. Wow. Man, that was steak right there. Hope you caught that. That was amazing, amazing, amazing things. And who would have known that we're listening to this at such a juncture in this nation? Man, I am watching people absolutely make fools of themselves on social media. If you ever hope to have a voice, so the young people are making up their minds about sexual orientation. Come on, somebody. And they're ostracizing themselves, they're saying mean things, they're talking down to homosexuals. And well, you know, as long as they're breathing in and breathing out, there's hope. But we take offense. I celebrate my 38th wedding anniversary tomorrow. I'm not offended. My marriage is not affected by their decision. My marriage is before God. I reflect Jesus in the church with me and my wife. Now, my heart is that we've got to tell the truth. I've often said the presence of truth is not the absence of love, but it's the way that we say things. We've got to tell people the truth. We've got to understand they don't see what we do. It's easy to get offended by folks. Even, God forbid, the Christians that are making these decisions. They're still breathing in and breathing out. How many know they can change their mind? God can come and change their heart. And that's what we need to pray for. It's not over. It's not done. Nothing's changed in my house. I'm not tempted to marry a guy. See what I mean? Just because they changed the law doesn't... I mean, no, that's big for the church right now. Because there's tons of people watching the church and see how we're going to react. And sadly, we react in a pompous way, in a proud way. Like we've got it all together and they don't. Listen, we don't have anything together without Christ. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Turn there with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Very, very popular scripture. It's talked about a lot. But watch what it says. It says, if my people are called by my name, we'll do what? Humble. What's it mean to be humble? Somebody describe humility to me. What's humility?
What God thinks and says.
What God thinks and says. Humility. What else is humility? How are we supposed to, if we're humble, what kind of person are we? Teachable?
Forgiving.
Not loud and boisterous. There's just a few of us here tonight, but I encourage you to tell all your Facebook friends, chill out. And I know where people are at. The back button, the erase button on my computer is just about wore out. Because I want to put things on there and God says, you can't say that. Because what happens when a young person that's confused about their gender, who are they going to go to talk to? They're going to go to somebody that's judgmental and shaking their finger and saying, y'all are going to hell in a handbasket. They're going to come to somebody that knows, that they know that loves them and will tell them the truth in love. Come on, somebody. Nobody could have known that these things would have happened. This teaching was done 15, 20 years ago originally. Who would have known we'd get this place as a nation? We're here. So how we stand in the next couple of 3 months, the next 6 months, is going to tell a lot about the coming revival and what people will trust us with. Just saying. Just be careful, man. We're drawing lines. People are putting stuff on their Facebook pages and on their social media and on their... I just read it and I just shake my head. I start praying for them. Because we ought to know better. Well, we know the truth. And you'd never know how things are going to work out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no idea they'd be living past the fire. Come on, somebody, they had no idea. We have an idea because we see the whole story. It's just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many know when they were going to the fire, you talk about being talked against. They were called treasonous. They were called enemies of the realm, enemies of the kingdom. And they said, let's throw them in the fire. Daniel never knew the outcome of his bowing before the Lord three times daily. Never knew. He thought that night in the lion's den was going to be it, man. He was going to be fertilizer. We never know until it's over. So we just got to hold steady. Before John takes us on a quick tour of 1 Peter, he goes through 1 Peter there. How does he describe the purpose of that letter from the chief of the apostles? What did Peter write the letter for? To arm us. Somebody over here? Talking about Jesus. Yes. And how we're supposed to act. He was giving them a warning. This is what's coming and this is how you act when it does come. Yes. What does offense do? What are we learning about offense? It's a trap. What else? Offense and growth don't work. You're offended, you'll never grow. We got a bunch of spiritual pygmies. Nobody's ever grown beyond the first offense they ever had. We got to learn to get past the offense. I don't have any story like John Bevere, but I was thinking about when I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I was selling timeshare. And I brought holiness to the timeshare industry. If you've ever been on a tour, I was the guy you wanted to be on a tour with. Anybody ever been on a timeshare tour? No? You? Sometimes they get tough. But there was this competition. The company, because it was in the heyday of timeshare, and we were selling pre-construction. So they were offering $10,000 bonus for the highest salesman in July of 1999. So 1998. I'm sorry. No, 1999. So 1998, I was salesman of the year for that company. So I'm going into 1999. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm having a good year, and they put this competition out. And there was this young kid, and he was vile and wicked, and he was as far away from the Lord as you could get. And him and I were neck and neck all month. And he would come and he'd say, well, what do you think? And he says, how do you sell this stuff? And I said, I just pray. I just pray and listen to God, and God tells me the people to sell the thing to him and send the people away. And he made fun of me and he mocked me in the break room. He'd mock me and mock other people. He'd talk against me. And so we were neck and neck going all the way to the end of the month. It was a $10,000 bonus. How much? How do you know $10,000 bonus? That's a lot of money. And so the last three sales, we were neck and neck, and the last three sales he had, he put the down payment out of his own pocket down for the people that bought. Now, if you know anything about sales, that's illegal. Not only immoral, but it's illegal. And he won. And I knew, I was privy of the information. I actually saw him do it during one sale. He took money out of his own pocket and put the down payment for the family so he could get that $10,000. Now, I was left with, what should I do? Should I go rat on him? Or should I keep my mouth shut? How many know what I did? I didn't rat on him. I sat on my hands, bit my tongue, went home, kicked the cat. You know, I was not happy. But I prayed and God said, no, you hold steady. So the next month, they had the same competition, if you can believe it. $10,000 for August 1999. For the top salesman. I left everybody in the dust. There was no competition. There was no one anybody called. He could have bought everyone himself. He couldn't sell. He couldn't sold a heater to an Eskimo. I mean, he had one of the worst salesmen of his career. I just kept smiling. And I'll tell you, I took $35,000 home. My net pay for that month was $35,000. I mean, no, God bless me. But I learned something. I learned that to leave those things up to the Lord, and He'll take care of you. How'd you like the story about the insurance executive? This is what I'm talking about. If we'll put up with what we think is going to be an encroachment upon our rights or an encroachment, you are not a citizen of this world. You've got to remember that. You're a citizen of heaven, and God takes care of the citizens in heaven. He takes care of His children. He won't let you go down in flames. He's just not going to do it. If you will obey the Word, you'll be blessed, period. How many know that? If you suffer in the flesh and die to your rights, God will vindicate you. Why are we getting that feedback? Is that me? Is my big... You're going to go much higher. How's that? Let's look at Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8. I like what he had to say about these things. And a lot of times we don't think about that. We think just because we're children of God, we have the rights and privileges of children. And we do. We're saved. There's nothing that we need to do to earn salvation. We become children of God. But Romans 8, beginning in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together." These two terms of sons and children are used in these verses to indicate that there are two different Greek words behind them, as he said. One is, means a child. And so many people stay in that child stage, and they wonder why they've never moved beyond. Come on, somebody. I've met many people that over the years and had occasion to go back and visit them from time to time. And I knew Christians that have been Christians longer than me, and they're still stuck in the same circle that they were in when I first met them 30 years ago. Nothing's ever changed. They're complaining. Oh, woe is me. How many know? God will bless you if you follow Him. Scripture says that we are led by the Spirit of God. And it describes this. If we're led by the Spirit, you can't be led by the Spirit and not be intimate with God. And that intimacy causes you to grow up. You can tell a mature son by the fact that he is led by the Spirit of God. She is led by the Spirit of God. You can tell by the character of the Heavenly Father that they display whenever you're with them. And I know lots of you here are mature people of God. You've made it work for you. We need to export that kind of thing. Because of anything, the times we're coming into, I mean, look at us complaining about just a couple laws being changed, which, by the way, how many know the Supreme Court cannot make a law? Just a point in good government. I didn't sleep through civil government. I remember judicial, legislative, and executive. That means the executive can't make law. The judicial branch cannot make law. They can only judge the law. Who makes the law? The legislative branch. So abortion is not a law. Same-sex marriage is not a law. So I'm not breaking the law. It's just a judgment that nine people made. Actually, five. Yep. The whole country is going to pay because when God speaks, out of five people that made the decision for a whole nation, 300 million people, five people made the judgment. This thing when we say there's laws been made, no, there hadn't any been law. There's not a law there. Everybody okay? How does the phrase that uses children twice convey the sense of basic spiritual truth that we receive by adoption in Christ? What are the two things that he said? What's the one? The child, what is it in Greek? Anybody write down? Technon? And weos. Weos is what? Mature. What happens when we become mature? We become more like Jesus. What happens when we're mature? We're led by the Spirit. What happens when we're mature? We don't get offended. What happens when we're mature? We get blessed. We produce fruit. We are given responsibilities. God begins to share His nature with us, His power with us, because we're not going to let it go to our heads. When we're mature, God says, okay, now you got some responsibility. Now I'm going to give you what you've been asking for. I'm going to give you souls. One of the reasons churches don't get a lot of souls is because what will we do with them? We reproduce what we already got. Ouch. That's the big thing. I mean, I started teaching my son how to drive at 12 years old. I'd take him out in parking lots and he'd sit on my briefcase, drive the old Toyota. We had a Toyota back then. He drove that thing all around the parking lot. So when he was 16 years old, on his 16th birthday, he went and passed the driver's test. Next day, I gave him my car to take to school. Why? Because I knew he could handle it. Then he wrecked it 2 weeks later. He did. He did. Dropped something on the floor and reached down to get it and took his foot off the brake and cruised right into the truck in front of him. And I had by that time I had bought an Oldsmobile. Or was it Buick Century, that's what I had. And it was all fiberglass in the front, so it was all smashed up. So he came in the house and he was as white as a sheet. I knew what happened. And so I started going out the door, and he goes, "No, Dad, wait. He's out there in the whole front smashed. And I just started to laugh. And I think he thought I popped he's waiting for me to unleash on him. But anyway, but he grew up. So everything we do needs to reflect the maturity that God has entrusted us with. Because God can just as quickly take us back to being children that need diapers. And He won't share the things with us that we need to know in these last days. God is not looking for immature believers. He's looking for people to grow up. Yes, we'll get hundreds of people saved. There's going to be spiritual babies everywhere. But spiritual babies will die if they're not taken care of and grown and discipled into mature believers. Come on, somebody. Spiritual babies are wonderful, but they can be picked off by the enemy if they're not taken care of and discipled and watched over. That's going to be our job to do. Matthew chapter 5. Turn there. Matthew 5. This is really, really, when you think about it, this is really hard, this passage of Scripture. And Jesus never said anything that was easy. If it was easy, He didn't even bother with it. I mean, everything that Jesus said is, you've got to be kidding me. You mean if I look at a woman to lust after I've committed adultery? God, I threw away the porno. I've got all, I don't do this. I don't go with women. I don't say, now if I just look at a woman. If I say I hate my brother, I've committed murder. Jesus, can you just lower the bar just a little bit? I mean, this is getting ridiculous, God. How do you expect me to handle this? Anybody ever there? You read the word and you go, God, that's just impossible. If you could just supply 30 years of supply for my wife and I, and we'll move to a desert island and I'll be the best Christian on the earth. Anybody ever felt like that? I have. I just said, God, move me to a mountain somewhere and supply food for me, and I'll live out the rest of my days just praying and just having a relationship with you. But we've got to live among one another. And there are people that don't like us very much right now. If you haven't got a clue yet, Christianity is not the most popular thing on this planet right now in this nation. We're being looked at kind of weird.
Yay for us.
We are. Yay for us. We're being looked at as being old and old-fashioned and out of touch. Matthew 5, 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I like that. I can live with that. But as it goes on to say, but I say to you, but. When Jesus says, but, look out. Love your enemies. John talks about this, but I want to get into this. Love your enemies. Now I want you to think about people that just don't like you at all. And you know what? You probably think pretty good of that. I don't like them either. God says, no, that's not what I want you. If you want to be mature sons and daughters, you got to love them. It's quiet in here. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. I've failed a couple times right there. Anybody there? How many have failed a couple times right there? Aren't you glad for second chances? Here we go. Because now this is being brought out very clearly to us now three times tonight. It must mean something. See, our stance has got to be different. If we learn this stuff and don't implement it, we slide back to being children and not sons. And God can't entrust us with what He wants to do in Fulton County. Can't trust us. Can't do it. He won't do it. See? He'll find somebody else to do it. Because this is it, man. This is the thrust that God has been waiting for. This is the end time. This is the end of the end of the end. This is the 1 minute to 12. He's looking for a church that's mature. He's looking for a church that's going to embrace all the people that hated us and talked about us and cursed us. They're the ones that's going to be running because they're the cold ones. Listen to me. They're cold to the gospel. And God loves it. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. They're the ones that's going to come and say, what? I'm ready to listen now. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Do me a favor when you get home, if you got a concordance, look up hate and see what that word means. And it means hate. That means. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. There it goes. That mature. Why? Because when He calls for the command, we want to be the ones that hear the command clearly. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We're always going to have evil people. We're always going to have people. But how many know we would love to see those people that hate us in heaven with us? Only two hands. We would love to see those people that hate us in heaven with us. Come on. Because if He can change you, you ugly old thing, He can change them. Come on, we were pretty bad ourselves. Look at somebody and said, he must be talking about you. I love these Christians I talked to. They were born saved. You know, they were born saved. I've known, how long have you known Jesus? I've known Him my whole life. Did you ever do anything? No, I've never done anything wrong. I'm spice Christian, man. I'm there. I'm up. No, man, we remember where we came from. I'm amazed. I'm simply amazed that God picked me. I mean, come on, God. You could have passed me over and picked 10 people better than me just in my area, in my own family. I was the worst of the worst, and He picked me, and I got the rest of the family got saved afterwards. How'd that happen? I didn't want to hear anything about God. Bless those who spitefully or curse you. Pray for those who are your enemies. So what's He say? Four things. What four actions does Jesus spell out that contribute to our becoming sons of our Father in heaven? Number one, love your enemies. What's number two? Bless. What's it mean to bless? What's it mean to bless? Do good things? Pardon me? Ooh, do good too. What's it mean to bless? say nice things to. And really mean it. Hey, that neighbor has been giving you a tough time. Cook dinner for them. I'm not going to do that. Watch them melt.
Pull their weeds.
What's the third one? Do good. Do good to those who hate you. And then pray for those who spitefully use you. We don't repay evil for evil. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So how do we inherit a blessing? By doing good. By putting up with the not so good stuff. If I get my worth from somebody's opinion, I'm in trouble out the gate. If I get my worth out of what somebody says, I'm in trouble. My worth can't come from words out of a human being. Are you there tonight? I cannot. If I do, I'm done. I might just as well go back to bed. My worth comes from what my Father thinks of me. And He loves me. Even when He's working on me, He loves me. And He's working on me all the time. But He loves me. He cares for me. See? And then in 1 Peter 4:1 it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. What's that mean? I've got to suffer in the flesh. I don't like it. I like having my own way. Thank you very much. I'm proud of my German heritage. I'm known for being a hardhead. I like things the way I like things. But my Bible says if I'm going to learn anything, I've got to die to the flesh and embrace the Lord. So I don't become offended. If I'm easily offended, I'm easily left behind. God begins to tell people marching orders and I don't get them. Wow. I mean, good stuff. How many caught some of this tonight that just, I mean, if we can put up with, if we want to grow consistently, we must submit ourselves to the process. We must submit ourselves to the process. God will allow people in our lives that are absolutely caustic. Come on, somebody. Absolutely caustic. And we've got to put up with it. I don't know how else to put it. I lived beside somebody in the city he lived with his mother. He's an older guy. And he never got married and lived with his mother. And he'd scream at his mother and throw things against the wall. We lived house to house. And I'd hear him all the time. He'd come out on the porch and yell at me because I was parking in his parking space. He'd get about this close and scream at me. I had large implements that I wanted to carry with me. The next time he got that close and yelled at me, he's a big guy.
You should have said, I love you too.
I'd like to say I did that. But I started doing nice things for him. I started going over and knocking on the door and say, you know, the parking space that is yours, it's open now. So you can move somebody else from parking a space that wasn't me. And instead of me taking the parking space, I'd knock on the door, go get your car, I'll wait for you. And before we left, thank God, he wasn't the friendliest guy, but at least he smiled at me and talked to me. Stop yelling, thank God. Leave you with this thought tonight, and then we'll pray. Do not ever take what people say out their mouth as gospel when it's mean, vindictive. Chances are they'll apologize. If they don't let that become where you think you are or where you think they are. Get your value from the Lord. That's why it's so very important every day to spend time with the Lord, because He'll tell you how valuable you are to Him. If you just spend 10 minutes with Him, He'll tell you how much He loves you. Come on, how many know that? There's not one time I've spent with God He doesn't tell me He loves me. And that's the only love I really care about outside of my wife. I mean, I'm glad she loves me, but God loves me. I don't intend to hurt anybody. And I don't want to get hurt by people, because if I take their opinion as gospel, I'm in trouble. So a fence doesn't have anything with me. I become Teflon. I don't let things like that stick to me. Sure, they hurt. I'm a human being. Sure, they hurt. But I work them out in the prayer closet, not on Facebook. God's our defense. When the books are open on that day, man, we'll be. We're laying up treasure in heaven. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for John's teaching. Thank you how appropriate it is so many years later, and especially in the crux where we're at as a church, and how we're to stand and how we're to answer people. God, we remember, Father, that it's all up to you. Everything is in your book, God. You're gonna make sure that everything is adjusted the way it does. So, Father, we will definitely reap what we sow, God. You promised that. And, Lord, you never give just enough. You always give abundantly. And, God, although we've got to wait on it, I don't know why we've got to wait. Lord, I want it all right now. It would be great to have it all right now. But, God, I couldn't handle it. I've got to wait on you. You've got to put us through the process. Father, I pray for those that are going through trying times in relationships and jobs and neighbors and all of those. Father, I pray that you would steal us. Even those that we love that have sided with this edict that the Supreme Court just brought down, Father. Even those that we think we've lost, we've not lost them, God. Amen. We've not lost them, God. They're still breathing in and breathing out, Father. So give us the temerity, give us the boldness, God, to love them like you told us to. Father, we might see their lives turn around. Yes. Father, we thank you for this teaching. God, we thank you for challenging us. And God, we volunteer to be the mature sons, the weos of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.